D-Mace, Finnegan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Finnegan here with you, joined on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, by the self-proclaimed number one hockey radio hit on our station every week. That's right, it's Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet, co-host of the 32 Thoughts podcast, author of the 32 Thoughts column. Elliot, I hope you and your family have had a wonderful start to 2025. I'm curious for your opinion on some supplemental discipline that is expected to be handed out. Zachary LaRue, the Predators' rookie forward, has a hearing for slew-footing Jared Spurgeon the other night. It's his first hearing as an NHL player, but he does have a checkered past in the Junior League and in the American League. I want to say a combined 11 suspensions in those two leagues. Now, I know, well, actually, you can tell me. I don't think the NHL takes suspensions and supplemental discipline in other leagues into account, but Spurgeon was injured on the play. He's not expected to play tonight with the Wild play in Washington. I'm curious for your opinion on this hearing, and with LaRue being a rookie player, but a rookie player who has run afoul of the law in other leagues, I'm curious for your opinion on this hearing later today.
Well, first of all, like Adam, if they call for a hearing, it's 99% sure that he's getting suspended.
Right.
It is extremely rare. I think I can only remember one or two occasions where a player had a hearing and then didn't get suspended. So LaRue is going to be suspended. And I saw that they made some call-ups today, which led me to believe that they think that's happening too. So the other thing I always look for is history of suspensions, okay? I found a three-game suspension for Brad Marchand for a slew foot. I found a two-game suspension for Ryan Hartman for a slew foot. And the NHL looks, especially the Department of Player Safety, they look really hard at precedent for these kinds of things. So the fact that that he's getting a hearing, and I actually wondered from some of the reaction to this initially if he was going to get an in-person hearing, which allows them to suspend for more than five, but he didn't get that, so they can't go that high. So I always look at the history. Those are the two I found off the top that are kind of recent, two- and three-game suspensions. So that's probably what we're looking at. Now, is past history, when they decide to suspend you, your past history in the NHL matters. As part of the now, there are some people who confuse this because there's something in the CBA that says your history over 18 months. That's for the fine. If you've been suspended before or penalized in any way, fined, whatever, in the last 18 months, you are suspended on a per-game basis as opposed to a per-day basis. Because obviously one out of 82 is more than one out of, 175. But they are allowed to look at your history in the NHL no matter how long it's been since you've been suspended. Now, in theory, they are not supposed to look at your history before the NHL. However, there are all humans involved here, and I'm sure on some level it's been considered. Do I think it means he gets an extra game or so? I'm not sure about that at all. However, but, people know what histories and reputations are out there. And I'll say this about Zach LaRue. He's got an identity. A lot of guys who come into the NHL at his age don't have an identity. That kid has an identity.
Elliot, just to follow up on that, you answered the first part of that that I was curious about, because you're right. He has an identity, had a reputation coming in. But since he's been in the league, you haven't seen him get into anything like this. Although he definitely has been a feisty player, but he hasn't crossed the line or anything close to it. And the other part of it, and just talking to some of the guys about this play, and he obviously felt terrible about what happened. It was a high-speed play where both players are going after a puck, at the end boards.
Yep.
And he tried to lift up the stick of Spurgeon. So when something's happening that fast and at that rate of speed, when I hear the term slew foot, and this is just me not being a hockey player, right? And this was the question I was bouncing off a lot of guys. When I hear slew foot, I'm thinking intentionally. I'm coming in to take your legs out, and there's an action with your arm that goes with the sweeping of the leg that throws you down. This wasn't like that. Right. This was he lifted the stick up of Spurgeon, and then they both kind of lost their balance. LaRue's skates go up under the legs of Spurgeon, and it was a terrible crash to the end. And the fact that Spurgeon is hurt, there's no doubt that a suspension's coming. I just wonder if there's a little bit of distinction between a different type of sort of an unintentional slew foot as opposed to, in my mind, what the definition of a slew foot is.
You know, Willie, it's funny you bring that up because I've had this conversation before. We've actually debated on the air. What's a slew foot? Is it just the kick or is it the kick and the arm? And I think it depends on who you talk to. Some people say it's the kick and the arm. Some people say you don't have to include the arm in there. That's just BS. A slew foot is a slew foot. I can tell you this. A lot of players hate it. They think it's a kind of thing you really can't defend yourself against. It's really frowned upon. Look, I think the challenge here for LaRue is that even though in theory you're not supposed to consider the reputation, the pre-NHL reputation, everybody knows it's there, right? So, Willie, it's going to be harder for him to get the benefit of the doubt because of all the suspensions he's had in the past.
Elliot, the Predators' next opponent tomorrow night, the Vancouver Canucks. It's the best soap opera going in the NHL these days as the Canucks turn. There seems to be a new twist or turn every day with that group. There is the clear rift between Elias Pettersson and JT Miller. And by the way, I know you appreciate this as well. I appreciate the fact that Rick Tocchet and Quinn Hughes did not pretend that this does not exist. I know that Miller and Pettersson tried to, dampen it a little bit, but I appreciated the coach and the captain making clear that there is something clearly going on between those two. Then Patrick Alvin, their general manager, does an interview with Sportsnet where he said anything is possible in terms of is there a potential trade there with Elias Pettersson. That's just my rough summary of it. But clearly, it seems like things are coming to a head with the Vancouver Canucks. There just feels like there is a major roster change coming here. What is your read on all of that?
My read is that my overall read, Adam, is that the Canucks are really disappointed this is still a thing. They knew that these two guys had work to do, and they didn't always see the right way. But when you're successful, that's supposed to eliminate all of this stuff. And, I mean, you guys saw it firsthand last year. They beat you guys in the first round of the playoffs. They took Edmonton to seven games in a great series. And I think the Canucks were like, okay, this is over. We've got a team now, and everybody can see how successful we are when everybody can pull in the right direction. We're building towards something. And it's just exploded all over them again. And I think they're really disappointed about that. In a perfect world, I think they'd like to keep everybody. But I think what has changed this year, Adam, is the reaction of people like Tocchet and Hughes. They've had enough. They don't want to deal with this anymore. And ultimately, I think the Canucks would like to keep everyone together, but I think it's taking a real strain on the relationships around the room, and people are tired of it. And if the two players can't sort it out, then they'll eventually do something. And, what I think is that I think they'd love it if Pettersson was a bit more of Miller, and I think they'd like it if Miller was a bit more of Pettersson sometimes. Just dial it down a little bit. And so that's why we are where we are. Now, look, Pettersson, his no move clause doesn't kick in until July 1st. Miller has one already, so they'd have to work around it with him. So I just think, if everybody here doesn't get a response that they want, then I think there's going to be changes. But I think the Canucks' preference is that these guys play together like they did last year because they see a chance to do something special.
We're talking with Elliot Freedman, 32 Thoughts Podcast, talking Nashville Predators. Now, what do you make of this young exodus by Barry Trotz? The latest has been Juuso Parsonen, who's been traded to Colorado. Obviously, before that, Tomasino, they cut Fabro a couple months ago. What do you make? And I know he brought young players in, but these are some young players that you thought that you were going to be able to get something out of. You saw them sort of in your future. But now that they're gone, what do you make of sort of this young exodus that Barry is showing?
Well, first of all, Derek, I wanted to say I saw where Adam Schefter tweeted today that Zay Flowers is the first wide receiver in Baltimore Ravens history to make the Pro Bowl. And I just think that is a disgrace.
It is.
Were not properly respected, I have to say.
I came in toward the latter part of my years. I had some great years there, but that kid's a Flowers. I mean, he's going to end up being the best wide receiver.
He's an all-pro to us every day of the week, Elliot. That's all that matters.
Right, okay. But that young kid's going to turn out to be the best wide receiver the Ravens have had since the inception of their organization.
I have to say, Derek, I'm really impressed. Like, I saw Eric Dickerson go on TV last week and say, I hope Barkley doesn't break my record, which made me laugh. Like, I thought that, and like, here you are saying that Flowers is going to be the best wide receiver in Ravens history. I appreciate your class at this horrible snub we recognize on this show.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
You know, Derek, honestly, I think that, to me, it's always a disappointment when you have to move on from young players. Mm-hmm. You know, because, you know, there was a time where it looked like, you know, guys like Fabro and Tomasino and Parsonen were going to be a big part of your future. Like, a couple years ago, Parsonen was, they do a media tour every year before the season, one in North America and one in Europe. And I went to Sweden a couple years ago for it, and Parsonen was one of the guys there. And these players don't get invited unless they're like a big part of the team's future, right? Like, the team wants Juuso Parsonen to be featured at this. And so when that happens, you have great hope for a player. And, you know, I'm sure on some level, the Predators are disappointed they had to make these moves or put Fabro on waivers. Because whenever you take these guys and they start to grab hold of NHL roster spots like they did, you envision that when you're good, these people are going to be a key part of your core. So it's disappointing. I think that's – and I think one of the things I'm sure Barry Trotz is going to look at is, okay, how did we get from there to here on Fabro? How did we get from there to here on Tomasino? How did we get from there to here on Parsonen? And how do we make sure that doesn't happen with our next wave of players? Like, you have some good players in Milwaukee. So young guys like Kemmel, how do we make sure we don't get from here to there? Now, some of that got screwed up this year by the free agent signings, because all of a sudden spots that were open weren't there. And those guys weren't going to get into those spots. Like, their pathway was blocked. So, and I think, like, Tomasino, I think he wanted to be traded. Parsonen, I think he wanted to be traded. The right thing to do was just move on from them. So I think now, Derek, what I'd be looking at from an organizational point of view is, okay, we're going to have another chance with this next group of young players, and some of them look very promising. How do we make sure, like, even we talked about LaRue, like, LaRue looks like a guy who could play in the NHL for a long time. As long as he stays at that line and doesn't go over it, I think he can be a really effective player. And he, to his credit, he has carved out a role on this team. But I think, like, all those guys that are coming with him, you've got to be asking yourself hard questions. What went wrong with this group, and how do we make sure it doesn't go wrong with this group?
Elliot Freedman is with us. Elliot, along those lines, I know the Predators are very high on the defense pair playing for Team Canada right now in the World Juniors, Tanner Molendijk and Andrew Gibson. I would love for you to maybe help our listeners put in perspective how big this tournament is, especially when it's being held in Canada. The USA beat Canada the other night in the prelims, and now the quarterfinals are going on. Just maybe the pressure level on players like this, especially when you're representing Canada in Canada and you're expected to win. And it's not always easy because they haven't really had smooth sailing in the tournament so far.
No. Well, I think this. I think the best way for me to describe it to you would be like the NCAA basketball tournament for junior hockey players. And you know what? To be honest, and I also might compare it on some level to the college football playoffs since it's going on right now. But there's one country that cares about it more than anyone else. Like, I know that the college football tournament, it's high pressure, but there's a whole bunch of people that really care about it from those schools. But I'm comparing it in the sense it's a high stress tournament. The NCAA basketball, it's six. You got to win six elimination games to get there. And in college football, you know, you've got to win, two or three to win it. This doesn't have elimination until the semifinals, which started today. But it's the similar high stress. It's the high stress of the NCAA basketball and NCAA football tournament. And in Canada, we care about this tournament about 50 times more than the U.S. does and about 1,000 times more than everybody else. Like, do the other countries want to win it? Absolutely. Do they have epic meltdowns when they don't win it? No, only we do that. And they're like, I haven't had a chance to watch a ton of it because I was in Chicago at the Winter Classic, but I've been seeing what's been happening. I'm aware of the criticism that these kids are under. And one thing I'll say, Willie, is I don't get a chance to watch a lot of junior hockey. But even before this tournament happened, there was more complaining about the Canadian roster than I'd ever seen, ever. And I said, if this goes badly, they're in trouble. They're going to get hammered. And so far, this is going badly. They're playing tonight in their quarterfinal against Czechia. And I think what's happened is, like, these are kids, these are teenagers. We know how aware teenagers are of social media. Boys and girls, and they know what's being like. It's not the player's fault in terms of the way the roster was picked. Could they be more disciplined? Yes, they took 11 penalties against the U.S. the other night. Could they play better? For sure. But they're getting destroyed because of the roster that was put together, and these kids, they know every word that's said about them. And what's worse, I have a feeling their friends and family are telling them every word that's being said about them. So you know what that's like. All of a sudden, it's not going well. You're feeling the pressure. You want to do better. Everybody's ripping you, and you start playing less as a team. Guys start trying to do way too much. Guys, the game plan falls apart. Like, the most important thing you can do when your things are going badly as a team is believe even more in what you're supposed to do. And the opposite is happening right now, and those kids are getting crushed. So, you know, I hope for them they pull it together. This will be a tough game for them tonight. They finished third in their division, which is not ideal. They're facing the Czechs, who were second in the other division. It'll be a hard game for them tonight. And if they lose, I'll tell you, man, people have those tweets in the draft folder already. They know exactly what they're going to say.
Oh, boy. So that's, yeah. Good setting the stage for what's to come.
You know what? The one thing for your guys who are Molendijk and Gibson, right? So
right.
The thing that – for whatever happens, those two kids, they'll be better off for this experience because now they've gone through the meat grinder. They know what the meat grinder is like. And, you know, it's like what doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Well, along those lines, Elliot, we'll end with a Predators question as we sit here in Vancouver. And can you talk to some people? It's raining. We get a day off in Vancouver, and it's cloudy. I'd like to see the mountains before I leave today, but I that may be above your pay grade here. But it's symbolic of how it's gone, even since we last talked. They had felt really good about how they played at home going into the Christmas break. They come out, and they've lost three games. they're in every game. It's interesting. They're so frustrated right now with the weight that's on them. They can't figure out why they can't break through, especially on the road. And it's just amazing to watch. It's almost like, and I'm sure you've seen teams get stuck before, but I don't think I've seen a collection of players who have won as much as they have be this low in the standings. And I know to a man, nobody on this team has ever played for another team that has been like this. And that is really a tough one. If it doesn't kill you, make you stronger, the phrase you just used, I'm just wondering how that will manifest itself. And if it doesn't happen this year, which it's not likely to, how does that affect them next year? Can it make them tougher and closer together by the end of this year?
Well, the thing that I believe first and foremost is, and I think this is the case in life, Willie, I think it's really easy to be a good guy when things are going well. Hey, this is good. Hey, we're winning games here. Hey, everything's great. To me, the real character is revealed who is strong and who performs at their best and competes when things are bad. And I bet you that that's what they're going through this year is, you know, who can we count on and who can we not count on? And, you know, I think that the greatest thing about being an athlete is you can always reinvent yourself. Like if you have a bad week or you have a bad game or even a bad couple months, you can say, all right, I'm starting over. And I'm going back to my old habits, or I'm starting from the beginning and I'm doing it again. And like the thing is, like pride matters. I really do believe that whether your team is good or not, do you have pride in what you do? I'm sure there's some players there looking at it and saying, wait a second, do I like being in Nashville? If this keeps going the way it's going, there's going to be changes here. Do I want to show that I still want to be here? Like, to me, there's always things to play for, always. And that's what I'd be looking at is who's still going through a wall. Like, again, we talked about LaRue at the beginning and he made a mistake and he's going to pay for it. But every game, I watch you guys quite a bit because I know I come on here. And to me, that's a kid who's like, hey, like nobody thought there'd be an opportunity for me this year, but now there is and I got to take advantage of it. And I think that whether you're a rookie or in the league for your 10th or 15th year, it's got to be the same way. And that's what I'd be looking at. Who wants to make a difference? Who wants to fix the problem?
Elliot Friedman, Sportsnet NHL insider, joining us on DVD as he does every Thursday. Elliot, great stuff as always. We'll talk next week.
All right, guys. Speak to you next week.
Elliot Friedman joining us on the program. 615-737-1025. We'll get into the college football playoff coming up next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Bingham, 1025-1063, The Game.